Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Oklahoma Perspective. There is a major turnover in representation at the state level in Oklahoma this year. With the election of a new governor who campaigned on change, many of the returning state senators and representatives are expecting to see a course correction in state government. Senator J.J. Dossett is a Democratic state senator who represents the Owosso area at the state capitol. Recently, KRMG's Russell Mills talked with Dossett about the upcoming year in OKC and asked him about his plans in the Senate.
All right, we are on with State Senator J.J. Dossett of Owosso. And, you know, the first thing that I think people should know, and we were talking about a little bit about it before I started recording, is that, you know, here's a guy who's a Democrat who gets elected in one of the most conservative areas of the country, but there's a reason for that. What do you think that reason is?
Well, I think my community, like myself, can put partisan politics down when we have real issues to address, like the crisis that was created by our government for our schools, you know, and our roads and our core things that we need to thrive for ourselves and for our future, for our kids. So, you know, I think my community rises above partisan politics when it comes to real issues. And you know, I'm not an overly partisan person anyways. I happen to be a registered Democrat. I used to be a registered Republican, but I changed that when, you know, just for my profession as a teacher, when there were some, you know, things coming down that I thought was that from Republican leadership back, you know, in 2010 or so, that was bad for my profession. So I just realigned myself there. And, you know, the bottom line is a lot of our issues aren't partisan. They're very personal issues. And, you know, we want someone who can go be effective. And I've tried my hardest to be that person. I think I have become effective with my role in the legislature for my community.
And I don't know who said it, but they were a genius. Potholes are neither Republican nor Democrat, right?
That's right. So. It's true. Our problems aren't partisan, most of them. The things that really matter. Well, they can argue all they want in Washington, D.C., but our problems on the ground here in North Tulsa County you know, the partisan issue doesn't come up very as much.
Good. And nor should it, I say, as a lifelong independent voter. All right. So let's talk about some of the bills that you are offering this upcoming session. The first one I noted was one that would completely ban all use of cell phones in work or school zones. Yeah, I tried this in 2017, I think. Didn't
correct.
Fly. Did it get through committee, or was it? Were you just
no,
not able to?
It did. I tried it in 2016, first of all, and I tried to apply it to school zones and construction zones after amended, and I couldn't get it off the Senate floor, so I changed it to just school zones in 2017, and then I did get it out of committee and off the floor, but then it was collateral damage or fell to the wayside in the House during the teacher walkout, so. I actually got it off the Senate floor last year, and it just – but so that's saying something. That's saying that it's possible.
It's making progress, right?
Sure, and I've been able to name it after Bobby White. She was a teacher that was killed in an awful car wreck by a distracted driver in my district right there on 169. So it's been I've been able to file this again. And reference Bobby in the title, and I think it's smart. You know, when we're in a school zone where there's a higher chance of there being pedestrians, law enforcement needs to be able to enforce our no texting policy, which would expand to anyone holding a phone in their hand while the vehicle's in motion in a school zone during school hours. That's what passed last year, and I think I can get it passed again this year.
I remember that wreck. I remember covering that. That was tragic. It was a terrible thing. And as you said, distracted driving, definitely any law enforcement officer will tell you that is a huge, huge problem. All right, yes. Senate Bill 33, and we talked about this one a couple weeks ago, so I'm not going to go too long on it, but this is one that would ban vaping, e-cigarettes, call it what you will, at all educational facilities, including early childhood education or anywhere where kids are in kindergarten through 12th grade. And I think, and you can address this again, I think I asked you last time, isn't all this stuff kind of already banned by the schools? So why do we need a law?
It is. This is most schools. I can't speak to all school districts statewide. We have a bunch of them. But most of them have adjusted over and saying school policy is you can't have these items. But the bigger issue in front of us, I believe, is getting everybody on board in the public to address these items as we treat tobacco. Because we banned all tobacco products on school property for good reason, smokeless tobacco, cigarettes, and all those things. But kids have effectively shifted from tobacco products to these things because there's no tobacco in these things. They are just nicotine delivery devices that are bad for our kids. This is what our kids are choosing to put nicotine in their bodies with nowadays. And that's a problem. We need to address that, and we need to limit the access for minors. Because everyone agrees that we don't want kids having access in the legal realm of things. We don't want kids having access to nicotine products until they're adults. It's really just trying to get these nicotine delivery devices that kids have shifted over to. Giving them less access, and schools would definitely be a start at this because that's where they spend a lot of their time.
Kind of gives the notion a little more teeth, I guess, if you will.
It does, and so any state law is stronger and gives strength to any school policy because school policy could be no hats in the hallway or anything like that, and this makes it where it's different, where it's turned into where state law has enforced it. And if you talk to educators right now, especially anyone who's interacting with middle school age kids and high school kids, this is the problem. These things are at alarming rate are in our kids' hands and in schools. Any school administrator is going to tell you they confiscate these things all the time, nonstop. Because it's definitely an easier way for kids to get tobacco in their system, and it's not as detectable as cigarettes used to be. So kids are doing this at alarming rate, and it's proven the nicotine is bad for brain development, and brain development happens all the way till the human body's like 24 years old. So we need to give our kids a chance at getting their brains to develop without nicotine every chance we get.
Fair enough. All right. So we'll stay on education for a second. And as you mentioned, you are a former teacher. Education is something that's near and dear to your heart. It was a banner issue all last legislative session, and most certainly during the elections, came up again and again and again. We passed what I believe was the largest single raise ever for teachers. Kind of put a Band-Aid on a gaping wound, in the opinion of many. I'm guessing you might concur with that notion. So you've offered up a bill that would give public school support employees, because it's not just teachers, support employees, a $1,500 raise. It's in 2019-20, and then another $2,000 in 2021-22?
Yes, that's definitely... It was a historic moment for Oklahoma when we did make up for lost ground as far as teacher salary, teacher compensation. But I just, with this measure, I just want to make sure we're not leaving behind all the other people who work in our school districts. This is just something I've filed, and things change. As we all know, the wording and language and amounts change. But this legislation is really just to make sure we're not forgetting, our bus drivers, our groundskeepers, our custodians, our teaching assistants, and things like that. Because a lot of times people forget that it's not just teachers in a school building. It's not just teachers that create a place for our kids to thrive. and they're learning. So I've got this measure. I'm happy to run it. I'm not sure there are any other ones. And, you know, I don't have to take credit for this. Whatever deal has come to at the end of this legislative session, I just want to make sure that we have a vehicle to make sure our support staff and everyone else that works in our school buildings has the same ability to a reasonable compensation increase, because we fell behind over the last 10 years. And it wasn't even always about cuts, but we didn't make annual adjustments just to adjust for cost of living.
Right.
For our retired folks, for our retired teachers, and for our teachers that are still doing the job, we're pretty awful about just incrementally, you know, every year making sure that there's an increase, just so you don't fall behind. Otherwise, because then you do fall thousands of dollars behind the regional average, and then surprise, surprise, your teachers are tempted to go elsewhere for compensation reasons alone. So I think we caught up. We made a good step in the right direction. I would like, on all fronts, teachers, support staff, and everybody involved, I would like that yearly we address this in small chunks, as opposed to waiting, you know, every 30 years and then have to put a really big chunk out there just to get back level.
Right. All right. So I think I misspoke. I think it would be a $1,500 raise in 2021 and 2021-22.
Yep.
I believe so.
I think that sounds right. And like I said, these things change, like, and they get amended, and we decide what's right or wrong in the people's house at the Capitol. So I'm not, none of this language is in stone yet.
Right.
Not till it gets to the governor's desk.
Exactly. All right. So one more, and we'll go through this one, which I think is interesting. You would like to strike the option of straight party voting on the Oklahoma ballot. In other words, right now at the top of the ballot, there's three parties listed: Libertarian, Republican, Democratic. You can check that and you're done voting.
Right.
Tell me why you think that's an important change that we should consider.
I think it's a modernization. When our state became a state in 1907, this became an option. And we were dealing a lot at that time with, even up to probably 40, 50 years ago, is you've got a group of people who have the right to vote, deserve the right to vote, or are illiterate, maybe. You know, so then came the option where you can vote for an image, you know, because the Democrats have the rooster, Republicans have the eagle, and the Libertarians, I believe, have a little armadillo looking thing.
Looks like a hedgehog to me, but yeah, okay.
A hedgehog. There we go, a hedgehog. So it's a modernization, and I'm pretty sure the language that I'm changing also makes the voter gender neutral. Because I believe it only speaks about his vote and his choice, and so that, I mean, that speaks back to 1907, before women even had the right to vote. So, but I just see it as a modernization. This day and age, when ideally everyone who's voting is literate, has the ability to read and write, thanks to modern times, people should know. They should have to vote for each candidate that is going to represent them. And they can vote for all Republicans or all Democrats or all Libertarians. But I think there's definitely a hunger right now for people to vote for a person over a party. And as we already mentioned earlier in our interview, is I'm not a partisan, overly partisan person. You know, parties have their place and they have ideas they set forward, but rarely do you find someone who agrees with everyone in their party. So you organizing in a political party is something that's fine, and it's definitely part of our rich history here in the United States of America. But I believe, like I think 46 other states, 46, 47, that you should have to vote for every person that is going to represent you. I'm not sure. I need to get back to you on the number, but there's only us and just a few others that still have this option of straight party voting. So I see it as a modernization and something that's just straightforward election reform. There's no partisan goal behind it. It's just, I think it's an adjustment for modern times that that is appropriate, and I would like to. That's why I ran the measure, because I hear a lot from it from constituents and people statewide, is they don't like the straight party option. They don't believe people are actually voting for candidates. They're just going in and checking the top. And we've had it throughout state history, but I think it's time for a change. Time for an update.
All right, fair enough, sir. There is going to be so many other interesting issues in this upcoming legislative session, but as you've looked over the, oh my gosh, what is it, 2,800 bills,
yeah, and joint
resolutions, I'm sure you haven't even had time to read the titles of all of them yet, but just real quickly, before we wrap up, what is this legislature going to be focused on, you think, coming out of the gate?
It's wide open, Russell, and that's the, I guess, the positive part of it is it seems brand new. We have a new governor. We have I think the largest amount of turnover we've ever had in modern history.
Yeah, lots of new freshman lawmakers, yep.
And I'm going to argue that most of them got elected on some kind of change, so different than the status quo. And I think that's a good thing. So we'll see. Everybody's real positive right now before session. But once we start doing the work, it probably won't stay that way. It never does. But definitely it could break either way. I think education, our state, with our teacher walkout and in elections, has pretty well stated that we are interested in better funding our public education system, you know, better investing in ourselves and our kids so that we have, you know, workforce development and just a better quality of life here. So I think criminal justice reform, some kind of healthcare reform, it costs too much and our people don't have access to healthcare like they should. And education, once again, is our teacher shortage is real, and we're going to see the negative effects if we can't get highly qualified teachers in our classrooms and get them to stay in our classrooms. You run into real problems if you can't get people to do that job, because it's a very important job. So ideally those issues will be addressed by this legislature and this governor, and we see positive results by May on what we have to look forward to for the future.
I'm looking forward to watching this legislative session. Like you said, a lot of new lawmakers. We've got a new governor. Heck, we've got just about everybody new at the state level. Not all, but a whole bunch of them. And I'm going to have my popcorn ready and be watching, because it's going to be fun. So listen, Senator J.J. Dossett of Owosso, thank you so much for your time. Anything else you want to chime in on before we wrap up?
Nope. I got a lot of bills, and I'm happy, as always, to discuss any of them with you or anyone else in this great state, because we all should be at the table when we're making these decisions.
Democratic State Senator J.J. Dossett. Special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interview. This is Oklahoma Perspective. For Cox Media Group, I'm Bert Williams.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.